The Catholic Channel on SiriusXM 129 presents America This Week, a smart Catholic take on faith and culture with Father Matt Malone and Carrie Weber.
Good day and welcome to the broadcast. I'm Father Matt Malone, Editor-in-Chief of America Magazine.
And I'm Carrie Weber, Executive Editor. And each week we offer you the news and analysis from the intersection of the church and the world gathered by our team at America Magazine.
And one of our team joins us here in the studios. J.D. Long Garcia is a senior editor and in town because he's actually usually based in Phoenix.
It's great to be here.
That's right. Really great to have you.
Let's bring on our guest, John Mlasek. He's a writer. He writes a lot about ethical and spiritual challenges with regard to living the good life in America today. And he writes many times in America, our magazine. He's written this article, Catholic Colleges Are Searching for New Homes in the Southwest. Can they succeed? It can be found at americamagazine.org. John, welcome to the show.
Thanks. It's great to be here.
Can you tell us a little bit about how you discovered this story? Where did you learn that this sort of movement of colleges from sort of the Midwest or the East Coast to build campuses in the Southwest was occurring?
Yeah, I mean, the real background to the story has to do with my own move from Northeast Pennsylvania to Dallas, Texas. I used to teach theology at a Catholic college in Northeast Pennsylvania. And that is, you know, that region is one of these old bastions of, you know, Northeastern Catholic culture. And it's, you know, the Scranton-Wilkes-Barre area is something like the 100th largest metro area in the United States, but has four Catholic colleges. And then a few years ago, I moved here to Texas, which is the, you know, in Dallas is the fourth largest metro area with a already pretty large and growing Catholic population. It only has one Catholic college. So we have multiple large dioceses here in North Texas and, you know, not many educational resources in higher education to serve them. And so I started just thinking about this and looking at, you know, other areas in the Southwest to see, you know, what's going on with Catholic higher ed there. I, you know, stumbled upon the Phoenix area where there have been multiple attempts by established Catholic universities, mostly in the Midwest, trying to open branch campuses in the greater Phoenix area. I mean, the state of Arizona a decade ago had no Catholic universities at all. And it has a growing Catholic population, and these universities are, Midwestern universities are trying to meet the needs of that population by opening branch campuses. So I sort of poked around and found these colleges in Phoenix and, you know, pitched the story to you all,
and here we are.
Exactly, right.
Yeah, one of the things that strikes me, John, about your story, and I think it's so beautifully written, so that it was definitely worth the time for people to, when they get their magazine in the mail, or if they want to read it online at americamagazine.org, it's definitely worth going through the piece because you tell such a rich story and there's so much background in it. But are there some things that seem to work for some universities and not for others? Why are some universities making it and where others didn't?
Yeah, that's a tough one to answer because, you know, like you say, JD, it's a complex story with so many factors in play. So the short version of the story is that particularly the city of Mesa a few years ago tried to attract private universities to its downtown as an effort to kind of revitalize the downtown. One surprising fact I learned is that Mesa is a city of 500,000 people. It's, you know, huge and sprawling, but it has this, you know, somewhat neglected downtown. And a couple of the colleges that the city invited to open up branch campuses were Catholic ones. So College of St. Scholastica from Duluth, Minnesota was one, and Benedictine University from Lisle, Illinois is another. And there have been a few other there's one other attempt that I know of to start a branch campus of the University of the Incarnate Word west of Phoenix. At any rate, St. Scholastica is not there anymore in downtown Mesa. Incarnate Word is not there anymore. Benedictine is still there in downtown Mesa. And as I explain in the article, University of Mary also has a presence in Tempe, which is right next door to Mesa. And there are so many factors. The deck is so stacked against these colleges that it's kind of, remarkable that Benedictine and University of Mary are, starting to take root.
Well, and I guess what strikes me about both of those cases, with the University of Mary and with Benedictine, they had partnerships, right? So it's almost like they're, like mm-hmm. Ben U. Mesa is working with the city of Mesa, and then with the University of Mary, they're working hand in hand with Arizona State University, which right. is enormous. I mean, it's a huge university. So it's I don't know if they have 500,000 students, but close, right? I don't know, but it seems like you have to, in order for them to really take root, they have to form these partnerships with larger entities or more powerful, more influential entities.
Yeah, absolutely. And, the presence of ASU is a complex one in the story that I'm trying to tell. Arizona State University, its main campus is in the city of Tempe, right in between Phoenix and Mesa. And it has branches all over the region. And it's hailed as one of the most innovative universities in the country, and it has a very ambitious president named Michael Crow. And, ASU is expanding so rapidly. I mean, just in the past few years, it's added about 5,000 students in the greater Phoenix area. I think 5,000 students would be a decent-sized Catholic college in most parts of the country.
Right.
And ASU kind of adds that number of students every few years. And the competition, ASU has huge name recognition ambitions to have a strong presence in Arizona and beyond. And just trying to compete with that behemoth is difficult. ASU is now opening a branch in Mesa. And when I spoke with the president of Benedictine University, his attitude was, I'm not worried. I do something different. Benedictine does something different than what ASU is doing. And still different niches.
Right.
And then in Tempe, the University of Mary has, directly tried to, as you said, collaborate with ASU to find a niche kind of within, the large public university.
John, one of the things that you mentioned before the show, that we talked about before the break, rather, was, the fact that a lot of there's a whole new population here to serve, to be served by Catholic colleges in the Southwest. But what is that population looking for in these colleges? Are they drawn to the fact that it has a distinct Catholic identity? Is it more that these colleges are finding a place where just geographically there is a need for education? Just in a city by city basis, and that this happens to be something mm-hmm. that's close by. What is the relationship of the students to the church and the identity of the schools?
Yeah, I mean, I think that it encompasses all of the things that you mentioned. I met, dozens of students on my visit to, these two campuses, the University of Mary's campus at Arizona State, and Benedictine University's campus in downtown Mesa. And some of the students said that the Catholic identity of the colleges mattered. and some of them, you know, said it wasn't a huge factor. You know, at one point when I was at Benedictine, which, by the way, has about 500 students in Mesa, I walked up to a table of students who are just having lunch, and I said, you know, why are you all here? And they said, in unison, sports. They are all student athletes, and sports mattered a lot to them. After a little bit more kind of, you know, conversation, it came out that, you know, a couple of them, it did matter that it was a Catholic college. They were looking at other Catholic colleges, you know, in California, but, you know, Benedictine is right there near their home. And, you know, that made a difference. They didn't have to make the choice that so many Catholic students from Arizona have had to make in the past, which is, do I go for a Catholic education out of state, or do I go for a, you know, public education in state? And in Arizona, you know, the public education sector is huge, and the private education sector is very new. So the presence of Benedictine and the University of Mary, which has a smaller number of students, has, I think, transformed some of that decision-making for undergraduates.
Right. Yeah, you know, that makes sense. And to some degree, that decision-making process is similar to that you might find in students at any Catholic college anywhere. Some of them are there because it's Catholic. Some are there because it's a good education. Some are there for sports. Some are there because their parents want them to be there or whatnot. You're going to find that at
yeah.
any school.
Exactly. I mean, there's also the impact that a Catholic university can have on a diocese. If they're, you know, Benedictine offers, you know, a range of programs, including in theology, and they're planning to have a theology master's program conducted entirely in Spanish to serve the needs of the diocese. You know, large Eastern and Midwestern dioceses have a massive Catholic infrastructure to support educational and pastoral needs, and the Diocese of Phoenix has not had that. You know, the seminarians have to go out of state. Lay leaders have to either study online or go out of state. And, you know, with the presence of Catholic universities right there in this growing diocese, they can begin to kind of, you know, close the gap in the educational needs that the church has there.
Right, and potentially offer chances for innovation as well, I guess, with it, like on a diocesan level even. Like you're saying.
Right. Yeah, exactly. You get, you know, scholars and, you know, diocesan officials working together. And yeah, you can come up with, you know, creative solutions to problems facing the local church.
Yeah. And the local church is one that's growing tremendously in the Southwest. And a lot of the people, I think, are transplants, right? So, I mean, you go to like a D-backs game, baseball game, and you sometimes, if the Red Sox are in town, there's more Red Sox fans than there are D-backs, so it's kind of an embarrassing thing, you know. But
I've had that experience. Having lived in Arizona, my parents came to visit. She was wearing a Red Sox hat, and we ran into people with Red Sox hats at the grocery store. It was like
right.
a reunion.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I think that there's you could walk away with the idea that the church is also just arriving in the Southwest. But as you mentioned in your article, that's not the case, correct? I mean, the church has been in these areas for hundreds of years.
Right. Absolutely. I mean, the church has, you know, the Catholic Church came to Arizona, I think, in the tail end of the 17th century or beginning of the 18th. And it wasn't part of the United States, of course. I mean, there was no United States at the time, but there is a deep Catholic history there. And there's, in a city like San Antonio, is a 300-year-old Catholic city. And yet, in a lot of these Southwestern cities, like I said before, that infrastructure isn't there.
Right.
And I spoke with a theology professor at Benedictine, Ramon Lusadaga, and he sort of, you know, made an appeal to the transplants, particularly retirees who have moved from you know, the upper Midwest to Arizona, to say to them, you know, Catholic retirees who are a big part of the diocese, that, you know, they have this urge to support the church, to, you know, to give money to institutions, Catholic institutions. And he wanted to, you know, try to convince them to invest their money in the Diocese of Phoenix, where they live now, while their impulse may be to invest it in, you know, Chicago or Milwaukee or wherever they're from.
Right.
Just because the need is, you know, they may be have been formed by those institutions, but the need is so great in the Southwest for Catholic institutions to support, you know, this population that, you know, like you say, I mean, it's burgeoning, it's arriving, and it has this need and this enthusiasm that's not currently being met.
And I think that that's a really important point to make because, you know, it's true. I mean, the church was present in those parts of the country first, but as you point out, Jonathan, the church's institutional presence is most pronounced in the Northeast. And, you know, as I'm thinking about this problem, I'm thinking about the city of Buffalo that has 250,000 people. That's their total population, and they have 9 Catholic colleges, right?
I'm a native of Buffalo,
right? So you know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah.
So if you could wave a magic wand, you would shut down some of those, take their resources, and move them to the Southwest, right? I mean,
yeah,
because you got to go where the population is.
He's got a hesitancy
right?
there on this one.
Well, because there's also a real migration occurring, right? We were talking about it last week on this program,
right?
You know that the population within the country mm-hmm. is not just new folks who are coming, but the population within the country is moving and has been on the move for 25 years, and yet the church's institutions aren't moving,
right?
Right. And yeah, I mean, that's something that is made kind of painfully clear with the severe cutbacks at Wheeling Jesuit, for
right.
instance.
Right.
And in the private sector, what I see all the time in Texas is new arrivals, corporate companies move from whether it's from the Midwest or Northeast or often enough from California to Texas, and they bring thousands of employees and just kind of set up shop in Dallas somewhere. And colleges, for whatever reason, can't seem to do that or haven't been able mm-hmm. to do that. And I mean, certainly like the integration between a Catholic or between any college, a Catholic college or otherwise, and its community
right.
is, you know, tremendous, and it's extremely painful, not just to the people at the college, but in the community, when colleges, are in financial trouble or perhaps have to close. But I mean, you're absolutely right that there's somehow or another, resources need to be able to move, but.
Who could actually?
Perhaps without
no one actually has the magic wand, right? That's the problem.
Right.
Are these new colleges or the new campuses opening up? Are they financially feasible? The ones that are, you know, sort of have stuck around for a while, are they looking like this is going to be able to be supported?
Yeah, the leadership at Benedictine's branch campus in Mesa assured me that they're very close. That branch campus is, you know, very close to being self-sustaining and no longer having to rely on the main campus for support. The University of Mary campus, which currently only has about 17 students, is still being supported by the main campus. And its president, Monsignor James Shea, said that it would take about 120 students, I think, for the Arizona campus to be self-sustaining. Now, I mean, just being able to balance the budget is not enough for a university to last long into the future. You know, it needs universities need a lot of capital. They need endowments, they need buildings, they need equipment and books and things like that. That, you know, goes beyond just balancing your operational budget. So, you know, from my perspective, like Benedictine seems to be doing pretty well, but it takes so much, you know, to keep a university going. That, you know, I doubt that its leadership is ready to get complacent.
Right. Well, the piece is Catholic colleges are searching for new homes in the Southwest. Can they succeed? It's by Jonathan Malasek, whose contributions to America we always welcome. And thank you so much for being on the broadcast today.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
All right. That's a fascinating story. So
yeah, absolutely.
The churches is institutions are basically where they were when America started 110 years ago. We need to figure out how to get them to where the people have moved. Right. Because, you know, as we said last week, people are opening parishes in Texas and
yeah.
in California, right?
Yeah, and, no, exactly. And you've been to these campuses, right, JD?
Yeah.
Benedictine has room to grow.
Right.
So it's a little bit complicated at ASU, I think, with the University of Mary,
right.
and to see how that plays out.
But it's, at least it's good news that there's still a demand.
Absolutely.
Right? And it's nice to see innovation in the higher ed sphere in this way.
And speaking of news, we just want to make some news of our own by letting our listeners know that with a bittersweet announcement that on May 22nd, this program is going to have its final episode. America This Week will come to an end. It's been a great ride, and we've had a fantastic experience. But just as the church in the United States has to think about how it's allocating its resources, you know, we also have to think about that in American media, and a lot of our audio resources now are going into podcasting, and so we thought it's probably time for a change.
Don't worry, you can still talk to me. I'll stop by your office every Wednesday at 1 p.m. and talk to you for 1 hour.
Exactly.
I hope you're ready. Get your grilled cheese sandwich.
I am going to be ready. And of course, we're going to have a special program on that day, and especially to take the opportunity to thank the people who have helped us here at Sirius make this possible, and to thank especially the people who have been listening to us throughout these last couple of years. So you have been listening to America This Week on the Catholic Channel, Sirius XM 129. You can find all of the content that we talked about today at americamagazine.org. You can also follow us on Facebook and on Twitter. And to subscribe to America, call 1-800-627-9533. That's 1-800-627-9533 for a smart Catholic take on faith and culture. For Carrie Weber and J.D. Long Garcia, I'm Father Matt Malone. Thank you and good day.
You're listening to the Catholic Channel, Sirius XM 129.